Our devotional tonight will be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, so if you'd like to turn over there, we'll be reading verses 3 through 7 and taking our lesson from this section. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation." This section of Scripture speaks about suffering and the fact that we are comforted so that we might in turn reach out and give aid or comfort to others. Life is full of hardships many times we go through. We know that there are things that come from without, outside of the body of Christ. There are things even within the church that are hardships that we have to go through, but all of them, God is our helper in regard to. And in this section of Scripture, we see in verses 3 and 4 here, our helper in suffering, which is God. And the verse 3 begins with this praise and exaltation of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Here is a God who has compassion, a God who sympathizes with the things that we are going through, and His mercy is very great. And He looks out upon people not wanting us to go through hardship and suffering just because, you know, it's something that we have to go through, but He sees the benefit of it. He sees yet that it's something necessary to our purification and actually to our betterment as we go through life here on earth. And so He is a God of great mercy and a God, it says, of all comfort. So it doesn't matter what we go through, God is able to meet the needs. This word comfort comes from a Greek word, that means lifting of another's spirits. So you just can imagine God, when we are downtrodden through the trials of life, lifting up our spirits, encouraging us, comforting us in those times of hardship. So this is the God of all comfort who does what? Verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation. So no matter what it is, small or large, God is there to bring comfort to His people. This is the Father who sent His Son, who said to us that He will not leave us or forsake us, He will not fail us, that He would be with us to the end of the age, Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus and God, deity, comforts us in the troubles that we go through. But you notice, as you continue on in verse 4, why it is that God, in part at least, comforts us. To relieve us, yes. To help us, yes. But also to teach us. We are comforted so that we might learn how it is and with what it is that we can render aid to others. When we in our minds are comforted by God, we think about what Jesus said. When you're persecuted, when you're downtrodden, He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. The Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 5, He said that you can be rejoice and you can be exceeding glad because what? Great is your reward in heaven. He says they did it to the prophets of old, but He says you have great reward when you endure and persist through that suffering. That's one of the ways in which we can find comfort in the tribulation that we have to go through. There is reward that is coming. We're also reminded that He isn't going to leave us and abandon us, that He will never forsake us, so we can have comfort knowing that God is always going to be nearby to help us through those times of difficulty. And so when we go through suffering, we can go to others, and as we see their needs arise, then also speak words of encouragement, remind them of the passages that talk about how that God is always there for us. The point is, we weep with those who weep in addition to the rejoicing with those who rejoice. And then in verses 5 and 6, he speaks here concerning the benefit of suffering. He says in verse 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." So here is someone going through life as a child of God, and he reflects upon all the different afflictions that he's going through. The Apostle Paul was urged by the Holy Spirit in this same epistle, later in it, in chapter 11, to enumerate various types of affliction that he went through. But even when we might measure what we go through and say, my suffering is to the ceiling, we might say, it's so high, I'm drowning in it. And yet he says what? So our consolation also abounds through Christ. Even though the suffering might abound, because you're a Christian, you're living faithfully, yet the consolation or the comfort that comes from the Lord also abounds, so that it addresses whatever tribulation, whatever suffering you have to go through. It's there in equal measure to deal with that problem. It's interesting that the word comfort, exact same word comfort, that is in verse 5 and also verse 6 translated consolation, has multiple meanings. So we already noticed the same word in the Greek language rendered comfort in verses 3 and 4 is rendered consolation in verses 5 and 6, but it's the same Greek word. But that word in the Greek also carries this meaning: the act of emboldening another in belief or course of action, encouragement or exhortation. So think of it this way, that through Christ, not only are we comforted in the sense of our tribulation and our feelings of struggle are eased, and we are encouraged or comforted in that regard, but also when we go through these trials or tribulations, we are emboldened to persevere or to keep going. We're encouraged. We're exhorted not to give up. That's also present in that idea of this same Greek word, which is paraklesis. It means not only comfort, but consolation. So we are emboldened in the midst of affliction. We are emboldened to continue. And look at what he says in verse 6. "Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation." So Paul looks at what he goes through for their benefit. They can benefit from his suffering, his efforts to bring the gospel to them. The example that he serves to them shows them how to deal with suffering and hardship, so that they will be emboldened to continue to live that life, which will bring them eventually to salvation. He says, which is effective for what? For enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. So they can remember what Paul went through, remember his example, and then when they go through that same hardship, whatever the nature of theirs is, they'll be encouraged to do the same, persevere, and not give up. The final verse we notice is verse 7, where we see our hope after suffering. Our hope after suffering, that is, after the suffering is over, is there anything? Can we have something to look forward to? At the end of it all, he says, "And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation." Paul had a sense of certainty, not really doubting whatsoever, but a steadfast hope that they were in a good place. His concern for the churches never went away. It was a part of the hardship or the burdens that he had to bear, constant concern for his brethren. But for them, he says, he had this assurance, he had this steadfast hope that they would be okay, because he says that he was certain, he knew, he had this knowledge, this certainty, that after they were done with the suffering which they were partakers of. They had to be. That's the nature of Christian living. All of us will partake of suffering. Yet something is there behind it or after it that awaits us. And that is what he mentions there. So also you, and that would include us, we will be partakers of the consolation. The article is there, the word the consolation. And while certainly there is consolation or comfort in the temporal life that we live now, there is the eternal consolation that is never ending, a comfort that will never be taken away from us, that we will have one day through Christ Jesus again. All the comfort that we have is through Him. But there's the comfort now with the promises that we receive from the Scriptures reminding us God will not forsake us. If we persevere, there's great reward. There's benefit in suffering. All of it is there to remind us, to comfort us. And yet there's the one that awaits at the end of it all, laying down this life, being forever done with the tribulations and the sufferings, and to be recipients of the comfort that will never be taken from us. The comfort we have now might be followed with additional tribulation. And so it can be a cycle of things. Hardship, comfort, hardship coming again, comfort reminded. But in the final analysis, there is going to be a comfort that will never be taken away. And that can be yours as a child of God in the life that we live now and forever with Christ. If you're not a Christian, think about what is necessary so that you can be a partaker of the eternal consolation, that which will not be short-term, but eternal. Through Christ Jesus, there is comfort now and comfort in heaven. But if you want to be a partaker of that which God offers you, you have to come to Christ in full faith, believing that He's the Son of God, and then turning away from a life of sin forever, being done with that mode of living, not persisting in it any longer, but instead turning to a life of righteousness and dedication to God. You have to confess your faith in Jesus Christ and then be baptized. Sin will be washed away forever in the blood of Jesus if we turn to Him. But persisting every day with the Lord is necessary in order for us to have that salvation, that hope that we don't let hold of. So if you've wandered, if you need to come home to your Lord, you can do that at this time as we stand and as we sing.